In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the Apostle Paul tells the Corinthian brethren, "Now I make known to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. After that he appeared to more than 500 brethren at one time, most of whom remain until now, but some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. And last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared to me also. For I am the least of the apostles, and not fit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace toward me did not prove vain. But I labored even more than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believe. Now if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is vain. Your faith also is vain. Moreover, we are even found to be false witnesses of God, because we testified against God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless. You are still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If we have hoped in Christ in this life only, we are of all men most to be pitied." The gospel Paul describes here, speaking to the Corinthian brethren, is the message that Jesus Christ is raised from the dead, having fully fulfilled the prophecies so that he might be the Messiah that was promised, so he might be able to cleanse us from our sins through his blood. Christ died and was raised. Paul told these brethren it is in that gospel that they stand. He said if it were not for the truth of that gospel, if that gospel were a lie that there was no resurrection, then our life here is worthless. No matter what we might do, the things that we conduct in this life are vain, because they end when this life ends if there is no resurrection. The message of the gospel is a very important message. And we recognize that as Christians. And we know that it's a message that we ought to have in our own lives, and we ought to be teaching to others. I want to talk this evening about some of the categories of people who need to hear the gospel. We recognize in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16 that Paul says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, the Jew first and also to the Greek." And when we tie that with what he says there in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we recognize that the power is in the resurrection of Christ. His death, burial, and resurrection is what gives the gospel the power of bringing us salvation. That's where it's found. And people need to hear that. The first category that we want to consider of those that need to hear the gospel is the category of people who think they don't need the gospel. And I started to present that by saying the category, the group of people that most need the gospel are the people that don't believe they need the gospel. I don't know that there's a most needs the gospel, but this group needs to hear the gospel. Because this group is existing and living their lives in such a manner that they have absolutely no hope of anything when this life is over. Because they don't know the gospel. Unbelief is a tragedy, and it will let people walk in sin and live their lives in this world however they want without even realizing the lost condition that they're in, the hope that they are missing out on. And these people need to hear the gospel. Now, there are some that don't think they need the gospel because they've heard a little bit of it and they've decided it's not for me. And they're like the fella that is addicted to alcohol but doesn't want to admit that he's addicted. Doesn't want to admit there's a problem. They recognize their condition. They understand sometimes people will what's going on in their life, but they like it that way. And so they're not willing to listen to anything that might try to turn them back or change their ways so that they might conduct themselves in a better manner so that they might have hope. Because they've convinced themselves that this life is all there is. That was part of the problem Paul was dealing with the Corinthian brethren. Some of those brethren were saying there is no resurrection. So this idea of serving Christ, it only has something to do with the here and now. And that takes all the power out of the gospel. There's no need for that message if there is nothing after this life. Because then when we leave this life, it's all over. It's all done. We need to recognize that there is a need for these people to hear the gospel. They need to believe in God. Their lives are forfeit. They are wasted if they don't know about the saving power that comes through Jesus Christ. They don't have hope of eternal salvation. Now, certainly we recognize that believing and hearing the gospel is just the beginning. Paul said in Acts chapter 14 and verse 22, through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. And we've just begun studying in the book of 1 Peter where he talks about, or he's going to be in the next few verses that we'll be looking at in a few Sundays, about the sufferings that we're going to have to endure as Christians as we go about doing right. We recognize that belief and hearing and accepting the gospel is just the beginning, but everybody has to start if they want to finish the race. Without belief, the Hebrew writer tells us it is impossible to please God. Because the one that would come to God must first believe that he is and believe that he's a rewarder of those that seek diligently after him or that diligently seek him. We need to recognize that there is a need even among those that would say, I don't need the gospel, to hear the gospel. Some of those don't even know that there is a gospel. Others have heard of the gospel but have no idea of what it's all about. Others have heard just enough to decide they don't want anything to do with it. Yet we still have to present the gospel to them. They need the Word of God because they are lost and without hope. Paul speaks in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3 of the gospel being veiled. He says, if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. And there again is a reminder that there are those out there who don't have the hope of eternal life with God because they don't have the gospel. They don't understand the urgency and the necessity of giving attention to it. And if, as Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 4, the righteous are scarcely saved, or if with difficulty the righteous is saved, what will become of the godless man and the sinner? The person who would reject the gospel, the person that would say, I don't have any need of the gospel. My life is fine just like it is. I'm satisfied with the way things are. I don't need to hear anything that's going to make me have to change. They need the gospel because they're lost and without hope without it, just as anyone else in this world would be. Certainly we recognize that those who are in sin need the gospel. Now, I recognize this is going to include many of the ones that we just got through talking about that think they don't need the gospel. But there are also a lot of people out there that have heard the gospel, recognize the gospel and some of the saving power that's in the gospel, but they're living in sin because they're not living in accordance with the teachings of the gospel. And they're going to be lost. They're going to be without hope. It doesn't take much reading in the Corinthian letter to find out that the Apostle Paul was dealing with some brethren there that he recognized were lost unless they made changes. And they needed the gospel. Remember, when he wrote there in the first part of chapter 15, he said, by which you are saved if you hold fast the word which I preach to you. Even those who have heard the gospel and may have acknowledged the gospel need to hear the gospel, especially those who have turned away from some of the laws and regulations and rules that God has given us. They need to be reminded of where the power is in the Word of God. And it is not in the law keeping. Although we must keep the laws, we must be obedient to the commands that God has given to us. The power is in the message of Christ. And that needs to be refreshed in their minds. They need to be reminded that it is only, as we looked at in 1 Peter this morning, only through Christ. Only in living in accordance with His authority. Only in taking advantage of that sacrifice that He has given, that we can have the hope of being with God for all eternity. We need to hear the gospel if we're in sin. Peter also tells us that it's not just hearing the gospel, but seeing the gospel that is necessary. And maybe this is one of the ways that we can reach those that are in sin even more than sometimes approaching them and saying, hey, you're wrong, is by showing them how they ought to live. Peter uses the example of a wife submitting to her husband. He says in chapter 3 and verse 1 of 1 Peter, the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives. What Peter says there is, you need to live the gospel. And by living the gospel, you can influence someone for right, for good. Those who are in sin need to see examples that we can live without sin, that we can keep ourselves out of sin. Not that we will never sin, but they need to see that we recognize that when we stumble, we have to pick ourselves up. We have to correct those things. But if they see us living our lives in a way that is really no different than how they are, they look and see that we're doing things or not doing things in accordance with the will of the Lord, then they're going to look at their own life and say, well, I'm just as good as he or she is. And they consider themselves to be a Christian. So, hey, I must be all right. They think they're all right. See, we need to recognize that in taking the gospel to those that need the gospel, we need to be living the gospel ourselves. The wise man Solomon in Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 18 said, wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroys much good. I suspect all of us at some time or another have heard someone express, well, I don't want to go over there because they're just a bunch of hypocrites. Whether they were accurate in that description or not, we've heard that before. Sometimes it's because of the action of one individual in that group that has turned everyone away. We need to be a faithful example to the people that we come in contact with every day. We need to recognize that pretty much everyone around us is living without the gospel. And they need to see it in our lives. They need to be able to look at us as an example, as we are called upon in the Hebrew letter to look at those examples of faith of the Old Testament. You remember Hebrews chapter 11? All of those various ones, Abraham and Noah and Moses, and Isaac and Jacob and Sarah, and all of those unnamed ones that are listed there. Brother John's been doing a fine job of taking us through and showing us the example that they've left for us. We need to be that kind of example to the people of the world today. Because they need to see the gospel in us, not just hear the gospel. We need to see it lived in our lives. Maybe the point that applies to us in this situation is a reminder that those of us who are already Christians need to hear the gospel. Sometimes when I'm trying to decide what to speak on, or what kind of topic to cover, or what to consider, or what points to bring out in Bible class, I think talking to a crowd of folks that's been Christians for decades, what can I tell them? What can I teach them? What can I say now that they don't already know? And sometimes I'm reminded of what the Apostle Paul did right here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He said, you still need to hear the gospel. In fact, some of you have forgotten the gospel that you were instructed in because you're beginning to think there is no resurrection. And the whole gospel itself centers upon the resurrection of Jesus after his death and burial according to the scriptures. Without that, there is no gospel. We need to be reminded of the gospel. There's a continuing education that we need to have so that we can continue to grow and to increase. Paul speaks to the Corinthian brethren over in chapter 8 and verse 2 and says, if one supposes that he knows anything, he has not yet known as he ought to know. We need to be careful about developing the attitude that I've already heard that before, so I don't need to hear that again. Well, I've studied that myself, and I understand that. Or that's just basic. That's just something that really doesn't affect me. I've been a Christian for years. I know what that's all about. Yeah. You know what? The fellow that's been a mathematician for years always has to keep in mind that 1 plus 1 equals 2. The guy that's been doing woodwork and is a master carpenter always has to remember measure twice, cut once. The basics. We have to keep that in mind. It is imperative that we as Christians keep ourselves refreshed, not just with the commands and the precepts and the various teachings that we find in Scripture, but with the core of what that word is. That Jesus was born according to the Scripture. That he lived a perfect life here on this earth, just as it was promised that he would. That he was rejected of his own people and that he died on the cross of Calvary in accordance with prophecy. And that he was buried in the grave. And on the third day he rose, according to Scripture. Now Paul is able, when he talks to the Corinthian brethren about that, to remind them that, hey, if you've got some trouble trying to remember this, some of the folks that actually saw Jesus after he was raised from the dead are still alive. You can go talk to them. You can check with them and verify. Don't just take my word for it. Yes, I saw him, but there's many others out there that did as well. On up toward 500 on one occasion. You can check it out. Now, we can't do that. But we can go back and we can read the eyewitness accounts. We can read the stories that tell us about the Christ. We can take advantage of the opportunity to remember that sacrifice on the Lord's Day and refresh our minds of what the gospel is all about. We need to hear the gospel. The words of Christ. We need to hear Christ and him crucified. We need to be refreshed in that regularly. We need to continue to grow and to increase an ongoing need to hear the teaching and application of God's word in our life. Paul said, I made known to you the gospel which I preached to you, with which you also received and which in which also you stand. We can't stand in the gospel if it's not still fresh. If it's not still in our minds and in our hearts. And as we studied in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, we need to long for the word just like a baby longs for milk. Because it is through that that we are able to grow. Jesus told his disciples as he spoke to the Jews that were believing on him in John chapter 8 verse 31, if you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. The point at which we stop continuing in the word, we're no longer free. We lose a grasp of the truth. If we're not continually refreshing our minds with the word of God, and especially with a gospel story, we lose focus on what we're all about. We might begin to think that all this good living that we're doing in accordance with the will of God is so that we can have a good life here on earth. forget that, no, it's not about a good life here on earth. It's about a resurrection when this life is over. Our reward is not here. The Apostle Paul told those brethren in Corinth in verse 19 of chapter 15, if we have hoped in Christ in this life only, we are of all men most to be pitied, most miserable. If our only hope is in this life, because we're not keeping the resurrection of Christ, the death and his overcoming of that death, his victory in that act, we're forgetting what it was all about. And we're just living life for here rather than preparing ourselves for eternity. These things need to be constantly refreshed and brought upon our minds time and time again. Another thing that we might consider when we talk about the needs of others in regards to the gospel, sometimes preaching is for the sake of those who are watching, more so than for those that we're preaching to. I said, now wait a minute. Well, consider the example of Noah. We won't turn and read that whole story of Noah in Genesis chapter 6. We recognize that. We know that story. How that Noah built the ark at the instruction of God, and how we're told in Scripture that Noah preached righteousness to those people. In fact, in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5, he says, did not spare the ancient world, but he preserved Noah, a preacher of righteousness with seven others, when he brought a flood upon the world of the ungodly. Who did Noah preach to? Well, the indication to me is he preached to the ungodly of the world. Those people that were going to be lost in the flood because they did not know God. When God looked out upon the world in that time, there was one man who found grace in his eyes, and that was Noah. And Noah preached to those who did not find grace in his eyes. But who gave heed to the message? Well, the Scripture tells us there were only eight souls that were saved. Noah and his family. Guess who received the benefit of Noah's preaching of righteousness to the wicked of the world during that time that he was building the ark? Guess who benefited from the example that Noah set forth in faithfully doing exactly what God required of him in order to survive the flood? Not the people of the world. They weren't paying attention. They mocked him. They weren't listening. They had nothing to do with him. They didn't want to hear this message. They had never heard of rain. And they certainly weren't going to take the advice of this guy who's out here building a boat. They don't even know what it's going to be used for. But Noah's family heard. Noah's family saw. And they gave heed to the message. They remained faithful. You know, we talk about Noah and his faith, and we don't have much recorded in Scripture. In fact, almost nothing recorded in Scripture regarding his family. In fact, you read through Genesis 6 and the story of the flood, and to some degree it seems that Noah's family was only saved because Noah was righteous. And that may be the case. But when we look at our own families and look at our own friends and neighbors that know us and that love us and care for us, and we see how our actions affect them, I think it's not hard for us to come to the conclusion that at least a part of the reason that Noah's family was preserved in the flood is because they saw the example of Noah. And they at least gave some attention to it. You know, sometimes when we're out speaking to others about the gospel and the story of Christ and about salvation, it's not the ones we're actually speaking to that receive the greatest benefit. Sometimes it's the one that's speaking that receives the benefit. Sometimes it's the one that, while we don't go around bragging about what we're doing, they're aware of the work that we do and trying to reach out, and they're receiving the encouragement. They're seeing the gospel played out in our lives, and it strengthens and encourages them. Sometimes it's not the ones we're preaching to or that we're trying to teach. It's the people that see us teaching. You know, I really think that's what Peter has in mind when he talks about how the wife can influence her husband by living in submission to him, by submitting herself to him as God has described. She influences him by the way she lives her life. And it affects him that she goes about and does what is righteous and what God expects of her, even though he doesn't ask, even though he may speak against those things. She still wants to do what's right. She still talks to people about the gospel, even though he said, I don't want to hear anything about it. She goes and talks to others. Or he goes and talks to others if it's the other way around. You see, sometimes it's those that are watching, those that see us faithfully serving the Lord, that are receiving the benefit of the gospel more than even those we're trying to teach. And that's another reason why we need to give opportunity to those that are in sin and those that don't think they need to hear the gospel. Because by going and talking to those and trying to reach them, trying to teach them, we may not be successful with them, but we may be influencing someone else for good. We may be showing someone else how to be faithful in the face of adversity. There were 8 souls that were saved through water in the days of Noah because of how Noah conducted himself in regards to the commands of God. There were untold thousands, maybe millions, that were lost, that didn't listen, didn't give heed. But his family was saved. You know, we do similar things in teaching our children. When we speak against those that are bullies and thieves, when we encourage men and women who are living in accordance with the law, maybe we're trying to get someone to change their ways, but our children see the teaching that we're doing, and they pick up on those things. And we can do the same with the gospel. The gospel, as the song says, is for all. Everyone needs it. There is no one that has ever lived or will ever live on the face of the earth that does not need the gospel. And we need to keep in mind, it is the exact same message to everyone. God doesn't have one gospel for those who are morally responsible and another gospel for those that don't care what they do. It's the same gospel. We don't change the teaching of Christ because we're talking to someone that's been living their life exploring all of the varied pleasures and such of this world. We're still teaching the same thing. The same thing that Paul taught the Corinthian brethren. The same thing in which they stood. The story of Jesus. The story of the cross. And the resurrection that is assured for each of us through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the message to all. The scriptures and teachings that we engage in our services on Sunday and Wednesday, and when we come together for gospel meetings and when we talk and discuss about Bible topics among ourselves, are the same scriptures we use to teach those that are living in the gutters and halfway houses and in the high-rise mansions of the world. Everyone hears the same gospel because there's only one. And it is, as Paul told the Roman brethren, the power of God to salvation to every creature. And that's why when Jesus gave the final instructions to his apostles, as we have recorded in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19, he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Go and teach all nations, making disciples of them, in accordance with the authority given to you by the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. Listen to the message of Christ and go tell others about it. The one gospel that is for everyone is the gospel that we need just as much as the one who is living in sin. We need to keep it fresh in our hearts and in our minds, and we need to be ready and willing to talk to others about it. We need to seek out opportunities to teach others about the gospel of Christ. Because just as certain as Jesus rose from the dead on the third day and then ascended to the Father to sit on His right hand, all authority and power being given to Him, there's a day coming when we're going to rise, when we're going to leave this earth. It may come while we're still alive. It may come after we have been long gone from this earth. But there is a day coming when we will all come before God in judgment. We will rise out of the graves and rise off the earth all together. Stand before God and give an account. And that account will be matched up to the gospel of Jesus Christ. To the expectations and commands and precepts that God has given us through the message of Christ. Everyone will be held accountable for the same thing on that day. We will be judged as to whether we were obedient, whether we continued in His work or not. Ask yourself, am I still standing in the gospel of Christ? Or have I put my hope in something less? If you realize that you have turned to something less and you're willing to come back to the Lord, the time is yours. Correct whatever may be wrong in your life. If you're struggling and you're having difficulties and you need the prayers of the brethren, you need the assistance of the congregation to overcome the trials and troubles of this life. If you stray from serving the Lord in the way